I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Night Editor is a nice little radio program that has fallen through the cracks. It was popular enough in its time that it was made into a movie, starring William Gargan and Janice Carter. But many OTR fans know little or nothing about the show. Night Editor ran on NBC from 1934 to 1948, but its airtime and day of the week changed often, so it was hard to keep track of it for the few fans it garnered. Hal Burdick was the night editor of a large metropolitan newspaper, and when there was a lull in the action, he told stories to his young assistant, Bobby. He also drank coffee. A lot of coffee. By the way, the sponsor of the show was, bet you guessed it, Edwards Coffee. Edwards was a popular brand sold only at Safeway grocery stores. I've heard they changed their blend a couple of years ago, much to the chagrin of a loyal group of Edwards coffee drinkers who swore it was the best coffee ever made. Since Night Editor was a 15-minute show, I'm giving you two stories. The first is called Lucky Day. There's a lot of phasing in this episode, but you should be able to understand it okay. Here's Hal Burdick in Night Editor.
Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Night Editor, starring Hal Burdick, in tonight's story from back of the headlines titled Lucky Day.
Joe felt his body go cold, his knees weakening under him. Someone had come up behind him silently and touched him on the arm. The police officer. He'd seen Joe pick up the wallet and let him go far enough to establish his guilt. And when they checked his record with 5 years of prison written on it, he wouldn't have a chance. By one foolish act, he'd ended every hope this day had brought him.
Well, this has been a very busy evening around the newsroom. So busy that the final home edition is being put to bed before Bobby, Hal's assistant, has a chance to relax. Now he leaves his desk and strolls over to the little office in the corner, and there he goes.
Oh, come on in, Bobby. Yeah, rest your hands and face.
Oh, brother, and will I. This has been one humdinger of a night, Hal. We didn't even get out for coffee.
Well, there's a nice big jar of Edwards in that package on my desk, but you needn't look at it, hopefully. It's an anniversary present for some friends of mine.
Anniversary present? Now, mm-hmm. Look, Hal, that's a new one. I've heard of wood and paper and gold and silver and all that, but a coffee anniversary.
No, not a wedding anniversary, Bob. I guess you'd call it the anniversary of a lucky day.
What on earth are you talking about, Hal?
Oh, a certain day in the life of a friend of mine in which, well, in a way, two cups of coffee were sort of symbolic.
All right, boss, all right. Don't stop there. For goodness sake, go on.
Well, I guess Joe Clark wouldn't mind if I told you about it. Though it isn't a story that's generally known.
When you say so, I can be a clam about one of your yarns.
Goes back several years, Bobby. Back to Joe Clark's lucky day. To that late afternoon when he walked along a busy street happier than he thought he ever could be. His head was high, his eyes were lighted by an inner confidence. After these past years of despair and doubt, he was on the upgrade once again.
Oh, sure, he only had $1.14 in his pocket,
have to last him several days, too. But he'd learned how to make a very little money go a long way. And tomorrow... Tomorrow he started on his new job as a junior bookkeeper in the accounting department of a big oil company. This was his lucky day. There was one faint shadow across his happiness. He'd been vague about references, but the chief accountant had hired him after questioning him about his knowledge of the work. And someday when they knew him and trusted him and believed in him, he'd tell them the story of his 5 years in prison. There was only one thing more that could make his happiness complete. Margaret Brandt. Madge, he used to call her when they were kids growing up together in the wrong side of the tracks section of the city. Of course, she must have been married long since. Maybe to Pinky Dolman. The smile left his lips for a moment, then came back again. He wasn't going to let himself believe Madge would ever marry Pinky. And one day when he got himself established, he'd look for her, find her somewhere. And then, there she was, coming down the street toward him. Joe couldn't believe it at first. It was instinct more than reason that made him call out her name and reach out to grab her by the arm. And even when he pulled her out of the sidewalk crowd and into the shelter of a building entrance, he still thought that he must be dreaming. Oh, Madge. Gee, Madge, is it really you? The one person I wanted most to see? Well, that's just what I'm thinking about you, Joe.
They talked excitedly for several minutes, asking questions, interrupting one another. Then a quick silence fell between them. It was Joe who broke it.
I forgot.
Maybe you'd rather not be seen standing here talking to an ex-con. There were soft gray lights in her eyes as she looked at him. Do you think for a minute I ever believed you were guilty, Joe?
Everyone else did.
I knew it was a frame-up by Pinky Dolman and the rest of the gang that grew up around him in our neighborhood. They hated you because you were honest and wouldn't be one of them. And do you believe that, Madge? Believe that I never had a dollar or a dime or a nickel or a penny that wasn't mine? Once again, her eyes and her smile gave him his answer.
Oh, Madge. Madge, this is the luckiest day of my life. I didn't believe the world could be so swell.
I think it's a pretty swell world, too, Joe. Look, we can't talk here, and, oh, there are a million things I want to say to you. How about having dinner with me? I can't think of anything I'd love a tenth as much. He was suddenly aware of the $1.14 in his pocket. He'd have to do something about that. He fumbled in his mind for an answer, then... listen, Madge, I've got an appointment with a man, and, well, it's a little after 5 o'clock now. Meet me right here at 6, and, oh, gee, Madge, please don't be late. A couple of blocks away, he stopped. Only one course open to him, panhandling. He didn't like it, never had done it. Still, there was nothing dishonest about it, and he had to keep that dinner date with Madge. It could mean everything to him. He chose the big commuting terminal. The racetrack crowds would be coming back. Those people might be more amenable to a touch. Just $2 or $3 would do it. And some way in his life, he'd make up for it. He moved on into the terminal and stood by a magazine stand, sharply aware of his own discomfort, of his dislike for this sort of thing. Aware, too, of the terminal police officer who strolled by him and on toward the street exit. Somehow, the presence of a policeman heightened his distaste for what he was about to do. A heavy-set man, one of the last from the racetrack train, edged up beside him, asked for some cigars. Joe saw the billfold he opened, fat with currency. Well, maybe this was the place to begin. As Joe moved closer, the man was taking cigars from the box with one hand and tucking the billfold in his hip pocket with the other. Joe opened his mouth to speak to him, but the words froze on his lips. The billfold hadn't gone into the pocket. It had slipped on down to the floor, and the man, unaware of it, was turning away and heading for the exit. Joe bent over, picked it up, straightened. The man was several feet away, joining a friend, and no one had seen. Before he realized it, Joe was slipping the wallet into his coat pocket and hurrying in the other direction to a distant, deserted corner of the terminal. He stood there alone, trembling. What was it he said to Madge about never having a dollar or a dime or a penny that wasn't rightfully his? And here he was, practically stealing another man's purse. But, no, wait. Maybe there was something lucky in all this, too. There must be close to 1,000 in that billfold, and there was an identification card. Suppose he took as little as $5, then mailed the wallet to the man with an unsigned note, explaining everything and promising to repay the $5 as soon as he could. After all, hadn't fate given him this break when he needed it? Wasn't it for Madge and him, and a world that could be better because of their meeting? Oh, sure. It wouldn't be anything dishonest. Just borrowing. He'd pay it back. Why, within a week, he'd... Joe felt his body go cold, his knees weakening under him. Someone had come up behind him silently and touched him on the arm. The officer. He'd seen and let Joe go far enough to establish his guilt. And when they checked his record, he wouldn't have a chance. By one foolish act, his hope for a comeback, all that his meeting with Madge might have meant, was ended. He turned slowly, sick with dread. Then his eyes rounded with surprise. It wasn't the officer who was standing there. It was a short, thin-faced man with sharp, beady eyes, pasty complexion, a narrow slit of a mouth. There was a moment of silence. Then Joe's voice was exploding. Pinky. Pinky Dolman.
Yeah. Huh. What do you know if it ain't my old pal Joe Clark?
No pal of yours, Dolman. And if you're smart, you'll get out of my sight before I break that weasel frame of yours into small pieces and kick them out into the street.
Oh, now, is that any way to talk to one of the old neighborhood gang, Joe?
Yeah, a gang that framed an innocent guy into 5 years of prison. Nest of rats is a better term for it.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I just got through doing a 3-year stretch myself.
They should have kept you there for life. As long as you're free to move around, decent people aren't safe.
Oh, now, listen, Joe. What say we go to some place where we can talk about the old crowd, huh? Yeah, Maggie Brandt, you remember her?
Joe's hand shot forward, fastened on the other man's coat lapels, half lifting him from the floor. You keep away from Madge, you understand? If you ever see her, don't speak, or I'll... Pinky shook himself free of the grasp, searching Joe's face with narrowed eyes, his lips curled back in a smirking grin.
Huh. Yeah. Couldn't be. You've seen her, could it? Yeah, and couldn't be pal Joe is listening for the wedding bells with a nice job someplace. Someplace where they don't know you're an ex-con.
The curl of the lips widened.
Ha! I guessed it, didn't I? Yeah, maybe I better keep an eye on you, Joe. I thought I was hitting a stranger for a touch when I came up behind you, but maybe it's better than that. Could be I found myself a meal ticket for keeping my mouth shut.
A red haze was forming in front of Joe Clark's eyes. Pinky had picked a winner out of thin air, and he was clever enough to do what he said. Trail Joe, find out about Madge, find out about the new job. Spoil every hope Joe had. The urge to kill was kindling within him. He looked away, and through the red haze saw the distant figure of the police officer. Joe's eyes darted back to the sallow face. His smile was hard, bitter. Look, what I ought to do is strangle you, but that wouldn't settle anything. There's only one language you understand. Only one way to keep you from ruining my life a second time. He took the billfold from his pocket, opened it. I've just had a lucky break. Every cent of it is yours if you'll get out of town as fast as you can and never come back. Pinky's eyes rounded as Joe fanned the currency.
Mr. Man, and have you got a roll? 50s I see, and 10s and 20s. Why, there must be close to a grand.
All yours if you'll get out of town tonight. Is it a deal?
A deal? For a payoff like that, I'll go so far you couldn't find me with one of those big telescopes. Oh, this is swell of you, Joe. I wouldn't have believed you'd do it.
Joe crammed the billfold into Pinky's inside coat pocket. Now, get going fast. I might change my mind. Joe watched the ratty little figure as it scurried toward the exit to the street. His smile broadened. He was free of Pinky Dolman forever. Oh, sure. He still had only that $1.14 in his pocket, and he'd have to hurry to keep his date with Madge. But Madge would understand. Madge wouldn't care any more than he would that dinner would be coffee and donuts. Just one thing to be done first. At police headquarters an hour later, the patrol captain looked up at the terminal detail officer beside his desk.
Oh, congratulations on grabbing that pickpocket, Frank. The owner has identified the purse. Nothing missing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the record shows the bird who lifted it is one Pinky Dolman. Got an Eastern prison record. As a two-time loser, he'll get plenty.
Well, when it comes right down to it, there's no congratulations due me, Captain. I wouldn't have known about it if some nice-looking young fellow hadn't come hurrying up to me and reported he saw this bird Pinky lifting the leather from some gentleman's hip pocket. Yeah, pointed him out crossing the street. I took after him, and when I caught him and frisked him, there it was in the inside pocket where the lad said I'd find it.
Yeah? And what happened to the young fellow who tipped you off, Frank?
Now, that I don't know, Captain. I told him to wait, but he said something about having an important engagement. When I got this Pinky back across the street, he was gone. But from the looks of him, I'd say he wasn't the kind to wait around, see if there was a reward. Maybe...
The officer smiled.
Maybe he had a date with his best girl and didn't want to keep her waiting.
It's going to be a lucky day for you, too, folks, when you discover the delicious extra flavor lift in Edwards Coffee. But believe me, there'll be no luck as to why Edwards gives you this extra richness of flavor and aroma. You see, Edwards Coffee is custom blended and roasted under Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal supervision. Every pound blended from the choicest Central and South American coffee beans, quality selected for size, shape, and color, and roasted by the controlled thermal process which develops all the rich, natural coffee flavor. Yes, and to capture this full, delicious flavor and keep it really fresh for you, Edwards Coffee is ground for you right at your grocer's. Make no mistake, when you enjoy Edwards Coffee, you enjoy the richest, most delicious coffee it's possible to produce. Try a pound, won't you? Your money will be refunded if you don't agree that Edwards Coffee gives you an extra flavor lift. Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
Well, now we've just time for a word about next week's story. What's ahead for us then, Hal?
It's the strange story of Oberleutnant Franz Kesel, who found a way to escape the penalty for his crimes as head of a big prison camp, but in the very moment of his success was trapped by the one weakness in his armor of confidence in himself. It's titled
Yesterday's Glory. And I think it's a dramatically intense yarn that you'll all like. Good night.
Be with us next week at this same time when The Roar of the Presses introduces another thrilling Night Editor story starring Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.
Night Editor with Hal Burdick in an episode called Lucky Day. By the way, I didn't tell you this earlier, but except for the announcer, Hal Burdick does all the voices in Night Editor. Did you notice? Here's the second show, called Smoke Rings.
Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Once again, the presses roll for another story from the Night Editor's office, as Hal Burdick tells us his tensely dramatic yarn about Manny Griffin's present to Police Lieutenant Pat Cameron, a story titled Smoke Ring.
Manny's present was to be a box of expensive cigars, much finer than the brand Pat had smoked for years. But the box was to contain only the top layer, and under it, fashioned so that the removal of any cigar from the top layer would explode it, was Manny's gift in hated remembrance for those years in the big house that Pat Cameron had arranged for him.
Friends, I could tell you many things about Edwards Coffee, about its flavor, how it's blended and roasted under Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. Yes, just why it gives you an extra flavor lift. But I could never really tell you just how delicious it is, how satisfying. Only you can discover that when you first taste that rich flavor in the cup. And so, I'd like to invite you to try Edwards Coffee, to see for yourself what an exceptional coffee it is. Believe me, you'll find that it does give you an extra flavor lift. Buy a pound, won't you? Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, it's that mid-evening hour when the newsroom presses slacks off a little between editions and most of the staff have slipped out for a quick cup of coffee before taking up the night's work again. Al and Bobby are in their favorite corner booth down in the corner lunchroom, and Bobby is saying...
Some good local stories in the paper tonight, Hal.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you like that feature yarn on the retirement of Police Captain Mackey?
Yeah, there was a good job of reporting. Yeah, remind me to write a memo to the man on the police beat, giving him a little pat on the back.
Huh? Okay, and he'll sure appreciate it, too.
Yeah. I read that story with a lot of interest, Bobby. Reminded me of the time, good many years ago, when Lieutenant Pat Cameron retired from the force in a city where I was covering the police run. Though, of course, that yarn had the added feature of a bomb explosion mixed up in it.
Huh? Bomb explosion?
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds as though they gave the lieutenant a real send-off.
Well, it made quite an exciting mystery story. Yeah, it was several days before we got all the facts put together.
Hey, tell me more about this, Hal.
Well, the retirement of Pat Cameron after more than 40 years in the department was an event that attracted a lot of attention, Bobby. For during those years, he had become one of the best-known figures on the force. Best known, and by most people, best loved. They were the ones who knew him as the kindliest man you'd hope to meet. Who'd suddenly show up with a basket of groceries when it was most needed. Who'd pick up some youngster off the street and take him in for a new pair of shoes. Or see that a doctor showed up at the right moment. There were those who feared him and respected his two big fists from the days when he walked a beat as a harness copper in the lower end of town. And there was a third class that hated him. The crooks he'd put behind bars for their crimes. And among them was Manny Griffin, who sent Pat Cameron a present on the day the big lieutenant said farewell to the force. It was there on Pat's desk in his flower-banked office, resting innocently among the many gifts from people great and small. Only, there was nothing innocent about Manny's present. During his years in the prison to which Pat Cameron had sent him, Manny had spent long hours planning his gift. When he finished his sentence, he came back to town secretly and kept away from all contacts with old pals, so there'd be nothing to tie him up with what he was planning to do. The news of Pat's coming retirement tied in nicely with his scheme, and Manny lost no time getting busy on it. His present was to be a box of expensive cigars, much finer than the brand Pat had smoked for years, but the box was to contain only the top layer. Through the underside of the layer was threaded a fine wire. It ran down to the place where the bottom layer should have been. And there, Manny installed a curious device, neatly arranged so that when any one of the top cigars was lifted out of place, there would be an explosion that would settle his accounting with Pat Cameron for all time. When it was finished, Manny Griffin's twisted brain held only one regret, that he didn't dare keep the bottom layer for himself. Manny likes cigars, too, but he must take no chance that even a cigar of the same make should be found on him. It hurt to do it, but he burned them. Then he wrapped his gift in a neat package and mailed it to Cameron to arrive on the day of his retirement. And for the rest, he could sit back and await the good news that Lieutenant Pat Cameron had been killed in a mysterious bomb explosion. The final hand clasp had been given, the last caller had departed, and Pat stood looking down at the desk laden with expressions of goodwill. One of the younger officers who'd remained in the room with him spoke. Yeah, what are you going to do with all the loot, Pat?
Well, I was just thinking you might have somebody take all those flowers to the city emergency hospital. They'd be wasted in my bachelor diggings. Yeah, then have the night janitor put the other things in a big box, and maybe one of the prowler crews could drop it off at my place.
His hand reached out to pick up a package.
Now, there's one I haven't opened.
He tore the outer wrappings away.
Well, now, it's a box of fine cigars. Better than my usual brand. No card on it. It's inside, maybe.
He opened the top lid, across which, with cunning care, Manny had replaced the unbroken tax stamps.
No card inside, either. It's funny. Well, whoever sent them sure knew how to pick good ones. Here, have one, Joe.
No thanks, Pat.
Oh, go on, take one.
His fingers reached down to pick one from the top layer, but his companion reached out to stop him.
No, Pat, no. You save them for your homework. You're going to have time to enjoy a good cigar now.
Yeah, sure, you take them along with you tonight, and I'll have the rest of the presents over to your house as soon as we can get them packed. With Manny's gift under his arm, the lieutenant left the building and headed for a little side street restaurant where they made beef stew just to his liking. Yes, sir, he'd take plenty of time at dinner tonight, and afterward, top it off with a second cup of coffee and one of his gift cigars. As befitted a man on the eve of the years of well-earned rest ahead of him. But a block from the restaurant, he stopped. While he was in the neighborhood, why not look in on Frank Lavender? Poor guy. Hurt in a factory accident 2 years before. Wheelchair cripple ever since. Somehow, Mrs. Lavender kept a roof over their heads, though more than once it was Big Pat Cameron who filled the empty cupboard. He chatted with Frank and his wife for a few minutes, telling them about the reception in his office that afternoon. Then, as he stood up to leave, he did one of those spontaneously generous things that were as much a part of him as his two big hands. From under his arm, he took Manny Griffin's present and held it out toward the wasted figure in the chair.
I'd like you to have a share in all the good things that happened to me today, Frankie Milan. Yeah, here.
A box of cigars. Well, mighty fine ones, too.
Yeah, from some unknown admirer. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have smoke them up for me.
Well, that's good of you, Lieutenant. I can't afford cigars anymore, but... I don't feel right about taking one of your presents and...
Go on, take them. They're too fancy for me, anyway.
The man in the chair opened the lid, held out the box. Well, at least have one with me, Lieutenant. He started to remove one, but Cameron reached out to close the box.
No, not a bit of it. Every cigar in that box is for you, Frank.
Yep.
Well, gotta be on my way now. I'll be dropping in again soon.
When the door closed behind him, Mrs. Lavender's hand brushed across her faded eyes. Wasn't that just like the lieutenant? Sharing his presence with you? Bless his generous heart.
Yeah, best friend we ever had, Agnes. Why, I haven't tasted a cigar like that in years.
He opened the lid again, looked down at the neatly packed top layer.
Yeah, I guess I'll try one now.
His thin hand moved toward the layer, fingertips closing on the end of one of the cigars. It rested there for a moment. Then... No, I ain't going to do it.
You're not going to smoke one? Well, why not?
He closed the lid again.
'Cause 'tain't fair, me being the only one to enjoy Lieutenant Cameron's present. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. Now, you take him down to the Dutchman's place on the corner. He ought to give you $3, maybe $4 for him. We need money more than we do fancy cigars, and the lieutenant would understand. Sure, he'd be glad for you to share his present. You take him down there right now.
Mr. Ruger, the shopkeeper, looked down at the box that Mrs. Lavender put on the counter. He picked it up, opened the lid, nodded.
Yeah, fine cigars they are. But I tell you, $3 is the best I could offer you. Oh, worth much more they are, but I don't have so much sale for high-class goods like those. Maybe if I sell them a little cheaper, I get my money back that way, huh?
As the woman left the store, the old fellow picked up the box again, sniffing the delicate aroma of the tobacco. It had been a long time since he'd smoked perfectos such as those. Price had been a bargain,
Yeah, there was no reason why he shouldn't enjoy just one of them. His fingers touched the layer. But no, not now. After dinner would be the time. He was preparing it in his living rooms back of the store when Mrs. Lavender came in. Not many customers this time of night. Have dinner first, then lock up and have time really to enjoy his smoke. He smiled at the thought of it and went on back to his tiny kitchen, the box of cigars still open on the counter. In the restaurant, Pat Cameron was just finishing his steaming plate of beef stew when he heard the distant explosion. By the time he located it and reached the store, the beat patrolman was already there and had put in a call to headquarters. They kept the crowd back until prowler cars screamed up with members of the bomb squad. Pat barked orders as they pushed their way into the wrecked interior of the little shop. Now, don't touch that body till the coroner gets here, boys. Then we really get to work. One of the detectives shook his head slowly. Yeah, it looks like a tough case, Pat. Things are pretty well scattered. Yeah. Well, have one of the boys see if they can find out anything from that crowd outside. For several minutes, they moved cautiously around the litter of broken glass on the floor, the lieutenant stopping to look down at the twisted figure in one corner. Then the outside man was joining them again. Well, I found an eyewitness, Lieutenant. Yeah, who is it? Kid. He was across the street. Yeah, he saw a man sneak up along the window of the shop and stand there peeking in. He looked around to see if anybody was watching, but didn't see the boy who was in the doorway. And, of course, there was no one in the shop because Ruger was out back having his dinner. Well, all of a sudden, this guy darts into the store. Kid sees him reach out to grab a handful of cigars out of a box on the counter, and there's a flash and a roar, and that's all there is to it. The lieutenant's eyes strayed to the figure on the floor once again. Well, I'm not surprised that Manny Griffin was up to his old tricks, stealing things off counters. He'd only been out of the big house a few days after serving a term for such as that. But that still doesn't account for his being blown up by a bomb. You get it, Ruger? The white-faced old shopkeeper shook his head in bewilderment. And Pat Cameron went on. Whatever it was, I'll say his last smoke was a red-hot one. And maybe in some mysterious way, Manny had it coming to him. Who knows?
Friends, good coffee begins in the bean, but the flavor, that has to be developed by those who really know the art of blending and roasting. Now, take Edwards Coffee. Every pound is specially blended and roasted according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula, the careful custom way. Nothing is left to chance. Only the choice coffee beans are selected for the exclusive Edwards blend, chosen for size, shape, and color, then blended in small batches, not by weight, but by flavor. Every pound is roasted by the modern heated air thermal process, which brings out the full, rich goodness in the bean, then immediately ground and vacuum-packed to bring all the flavor to you at peak freshness. Yes, Edwards coffee is really delicious. Truly the coffee with the extra flavor lift. If you'll just try a pound, I'm sure you'll find it's outstanding coffee. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Now, Hal, what's the news from the night editor's office about next week's yarn?
George Alden was a man who'd lived his life in the hill country. And when sickness cooped him up in a city apartment for a few weeks, it was almost more than he could take. Then, one morning, autumn came to the city, bringing him the taste and feel and smell of the open country. It tempted him out of doors and into a strange and exciting adventure that I'll relate to you in my story, Autumn Fever, when we meet in the newsroom next week. Join us then, won't you? Good night.
Be sure to listen next week at this same time when the roar of the presses brings us another dramatic yarn written and told by your night editor, Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying goodnight for Edwards Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Night Editor and Smoke Rings. Thanks for listening. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. In the Old-Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.